we've been speaking about Thanksgiving and really trying to help the church with what is so key. It's foundational, but if you practice it and you get it into your life, it can change your life. But a lot of us are trying to sort out the second story, the third story of the building. But gratefulness is actually the foundation. Okay, staying grateful, being thankful. And a lot of people struggle with it. We ask this question: if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you were thankful for, what would you have? If you woke up tomorrow with only what you're thankful for, what would you have? Would you still have a job? Would you still have your family? If you're married, would you still be married? You know, you need to ask yourself this question. If you woke up with only what you were thankful for, what would you have? And of course, the challenge then is, are you going to start to change your habit? Because we don't want to be a people that just respond to circumstances. That means we're not really grateful. We're just responding if it's good or it's bad. We want to start to build a habit of gratefulness. We want to start practicing it daily. Because when you're grateful, you actually are entering in to the gates. It says we enter into the gates with thanks. Now, of course, the first part of entering in, getting close to Jesus, is their gates, and then we enter into the throne room, the most inner court. It's like we're in God's presence when we give thanks and we give praise. And if you want to do your day, you want to do your day in His presence. Of course, God is enthroned on the praises of His people. And Adi said it so well. It's like when we praise God and we're grateful, it's like God takes our praise and our thanks and He builds a throne room. I mean, He builds a throne and He seated on that throne. He's enthroned on the praises of His people. And so it's such a powerful tool. I always think when we praise God, we are getting into His presence. When we're grateful, we're putting ourselves right at His feet. And when you're sitting at Jesus' feet, I don't know if you guys know the story of Mary and Martha. Hey? When you sit at Jesus' feet, Jesus can remind you of the work He's done and that He loved you so much. That's why He paid a price for your sin. So when the enemy accuses you, He reminds you that He sorted out those accusations. But when you are grumpy, a grumbler, a complainer, it's like you open the door to the enemy. When the enemy walks in, he does not remind you of what he's done. He will always remind you about the mistakes you've made. So what happens is we end up putting ourselves in a place where someone is speaking to us based on how we start our day. If we start our day grateful, thanking God, it's like we open ourselves up to His voice. When we get grumpy and we complain, it's like we're opening ourselves up to the enemy's voice. So the accusations, of course, the lies of the enemy. And we have to decide where we're going to place ourselves. If you are grateful and you're entering to the throne room, you actually sit with the author of our faith. And I remember when we were starting to do albums in this church, and one of the albums we did, and it would have been the Golden Oldies. So Carol and myself would have been there. Now they've chucked me out, and they said Carol's good, so they've kept her on. But we would have been there, and we had a guy named Daniel Ornelas who produced one album. And Carol would write, and I'd started to write, and a few of the songs in the album that I'd written, he actually wasn't happy with. He was happy with some melodies and rhythms, but he wasn't happy with all the words. So I remember we met at Mug and Bean at the waterfront, and he actually then started to say, I'd like you to sort of take these songs up a level. So I listened to him and we spoke about it. And then he actually gave me some keys on how to think about stuff. Went back to my house, rewrote the songs, met with him, put the songs in. And he was pretty happy. But that was, it's like his role on that album was to actually help us finish the album. His role on the album was to actually help us finish the songs properly, produce them in the studio. And for you and I, if we don't have a close relationship with Jesus, we miss out on the potential finishing of the race that He's got for us. The specific race. Hey, okay, let's shift this. Okay, no, this is the thoughts I have for you. No, this is the plan I have for you. And we stay ungrateful. We're sitting with the one who totally wants to derail our race. He wants to knock us off the path. He wants to get us to go in a direction we should never go. Of course, when you're grateful, you actually are sitting in God's presence, and He helps you remember the best part of having a relationship with Him. He points to the cross. He points to heaven. He points to your future. But when you're sitting with the enemy, he reminds you of all the worst parts of your life, the worst things that has happened to your life, maybe the mistakes you've made. I don't know if you've ever gone to into a space and you've seen somebody you offended with. And as soon as you see them, you remember all the hurts of your past. Anyone? Well, when you start your day with thankfulness, you'll actually always remember, you'll be reminded of all the work that God's done on your behalf, that you're a child of God. It's a simple thing. I also see, as we stay grateful, it's almost like that guitar pedal, that Rian's guitar pedal. Of course, as he plays a chord, he can ring it out and it can go for quite a while. Like a piano, you've got your pedal and it can let the notes ring out. When you are grateful, all the good things that God has for your life ring out. But when you're ungrateful, the same thing happens. All the bad things ring out. Offense gets more time in your life. It's like you're pushing the pedal of offense, of bitterness, of hurt, of mistakes when you're ungrateful, and it just rings out. Same effect, but when you are thankful and you're grateful, the good things that God's done for you ring out in your life. I don't know if you wake up and you can only see the pain and the hurt, but God wants us to stay in a place where His goodness rings out in our life. And He can start to do a work. Of course, thanksgiving is the fruit of being rooted. It's the fruit of being rooted. If we're going to root ourselves, the best person to root ourselves is in Christ. Colossians 2 verse 7 says, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The outcome of being rooted is an overflow of thankfulness. The more you and I get into God's presence, the more you and I spend time with Jesus, you might not be perfect, but He is. I promise you, the outcome, the overflow, will be thankfulness. That will be the overflow. I said it this morning, the deeper the roots go, another way of saying it, the more depth there is to your life, the fruit of that is thankfulness. What's crazy is the world knows the church that supposedly knows the Bible as super grumpy. We're against this, and I can't believe they're doing this. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees actually seem pretty grumpy in the Bible. I'm thinking of a story. My wife is a doctor, and this practice phoned her on a Monday and asked her to just quickly cover for an hour or two. So she did it. And this guy that I see in the mornings, he trains there, and he says, "Hey, you Andre's wife?" And yeah. He says, "Yeah, I see him training at gym, but the guy he trains with is really grumpy." And so Leanne told me, and I thought it was hilarious. So I told my mates. I said, "I'm going to get a top. I'm with Grumpy." Anyway, so the next day we went to gym. My grumpy training partner was like, I walked in and he was on like this bike, and he was like, "Woohoo! I love this place!" like you're shouting. Like, and he went up to that guy and said, "Hey, man, how's it going?" And every morning now he goes up to him, but I said, "Bro, I'm still with Grumpy." Anyway, you're just faking it till you make it. It's hilarious. But listen, at the end of the day, if we are always complaining and we're supposedly in Christ, you have to ask yourself, are you really in Christ? Because the overflow of being in Christ is a grateful life. That's the overflow. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Simple. A lot of us want to know what God's will for our life is. God's will for our life is to be thankful no matter where we're at. Thankful for Him. Thankful for what He's doing. See, the thing is, why do we need to be thankful in all circumstances? Because if we're only thankful in certain circumstances, I know there's a tongue twister, shells sell shells in the seashore. If we're only grateful in certain circumstances, it means that we're only grateful when God does stuff for us. And we're actually not grateful for God. It could mean that we only love God because of what He can do for us, instead of just loving God because He's awesome. So God's will for us is to love Him no matter what. But if we're going to love Him, then we're going to find out what His love languages are. We're going to find out how He likes to experience, how He likes us to express love to Him. Agreed? If you get married, young men, young women, people are going to encourage you to find out what your spouse's love language is. You're not going to sort of put in a box. So for instance, I like cappuccinos and Leanne likes tea. So I go, love is when somebody gives me a cappuccino. If somebody gives me a cappuccino, they really love me. I'm like, so then I'm going to say, you know what? I don't feel like my wife loves me. I've got it. I'm going to start showing her love. Every morning she wakes up, I'm going to give her a cappuccino. Because cappuccino is love. She goes, clearly Andre does not love me. Because he makes me cappuccinos. I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him what real love is. Every morning I'm going to make him tea. Because tea is real love. So she brings me tea. And I'm like, no. Cappuccinos are love. Tea. And sometimes that's what we do with God. We don't want to take time to find out how He would like us to love Him. And then we say this, it's a lie from the enemy and from the world. We say, well, my personality doesn't suit the way God wants me to express love. I think that's a lie. You know why? Because it says you enter in to the gates with thanks and praise. If God made you for relationship and worship, why would He ever make you in a way that you couldn't enter into it? Why would He make you in a way that you couldn't express it and enter into His presence? So what we do is we say, you know, Andre, it's just not who I am. You know, I'm more conservative. Yeah, then I watch you watch your favorite sports team. And I go, you're just expressing love to what you're passionate about. The other side of it is, sometimes it is also a crowd thing. And you worship according to what you think people are thinking about you, instead of just focusing your eyes on Christ. And those things get in the way. And tonight, we know the importance of saying thank you. But we need to practice it. I love how, you know, Mary and Martha, and Martha complains, my sister, she's sitting down. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen the right thing, the right way. The best thing you can do is choose the way that God wants you to go. Because it's going to take away your worry. It's going to take away the things that are gripping you and stopping you from growing. So this morning, I said to the church, first simple practical way is 2 minutes of meditating on Scripture daily. This is how it goes. I want to quickly show it to you, and then we're going to focus on actually praising God. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Right where you're sitting, will you say this with me? Thank you, Jesus, that you will not leave me nor forsake me. Second scripture, Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Say this with me. Thank you, Jesus, that you're holding my right hand and that you'll help me. Third scripture, Psalm 139, 17 to 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Say with me, thank you, Jesus, that your thoughts for me outnumber the grains of sand. Thank you that you are with me. Simple practice, 2 minutes every day, take three promises, read them, declare them, and just stir up a grateful heart. Very basic. The next thing, and we encourage you to start this last week, is to start journaling. We just gave you this piece of paper, but we encourage you to start journaling. Reflect and write down what you're grateful for. People who journal and reflect on what they're grateful for grow in gratitude. You understand? Don't let things have to happen to you to become grateful. Even when things are not going your way, wake up and already have a habit of growing in gratitude every single day. Can I have the worship team up? Last practical thing in which we really want to focus on tonight is how God wants us to express our gratitude, our praise. I think they got it on the screen. The first word, these are Hebrew words for praise. Halal is the primary Hebrew root word for praise. Our word, of course, is hallelujah. It means to be clear, to praise, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to celebrate. So, of course, have we got the words? I think we're going to put that up. When you give halal worship, people don't see the individual anymore. They see this person who's a worshiper of Jesus. Of course, you even see there to rave. Of course, clearly the raving started in the Bible. Of course, we just do it the right way, bro. Just in case, it's like, woo, oh, okay. But have you ever watched a sports game and you can't identify individuals in the stadium, but you can identify a group of people who support a team? Anyone? That's actually how halal worship should look when it comes to worshiping Jesus. That's what he likes. Andre, it's not my personality. Have you ever dressed up for your sports team? Have you ever clapped hands for something you've enjoyed? For your children? Have you ever got lost where people say, clearly that's that child's father or mother? Well, that's halal. That's the picture of it. That's actually how the Bible speaks about us praising Him. Psalm 113, 1 to 3 says, praise, which of course is halal, the Lord. Praise, of course, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, which means halal, the name of the Lord. Psalm 150, are there, halal the Lord. Halal God in His sanctuary. Halal Him in His mighty expanse. It's such an expressive way of worshiping Him. Who's ever painted a flag or their face for a sports event? Anyone? Here's my challenge. Don't let anything else set the bar for your halal. He gets the ultimate halal praise. Not your sports team. I'm not saying don't be passionate about your sports team. Enjoy it. Have fun, especially if you support Liverpool. I feel God wants you to have fun supporting them. But I also want to challenge you that your sports team, your children, they can't set the bar of your halal worship. God has to. the expression for him has to set the bar. And I know, guys, some people get flipped. This is what he'd like. If you study the scripture, this is how you praise him. Yada is a verb with a root meaning to the extended hand, to throw out your hands. A lot of people, you know what I mean? I remember coming here going, the happy clappy church, awesome. Bunch of nutters. Anyway, like, you know what I mean? Like, I came from a conservative church where we really did church. And then you come here and you're going, is there something in there? But it's actually biblical. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 21. Give thanks. Give yada. That's how you'd say it to the Lord. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 63 verse 1. So I'll bless thee as long as I live. I will yada, lift up my hands in thy name. That's actually how he'd like to be worshipped. Toda comes from the same principal root word as yada. It's used more specifically. Toda literally means an extension of the hand in adoration. Listen, sometimes I'll read, I'll have a quiet time and I feel God speak to me, and my response is, I'm in my lounge, nobody else there. It's like I can't help myself. Wow, God, you are good. Adoration. Come on, I know you know, God's touched you sometimes and you've just wanted to, without even realizing it, in adoration go, wow, you're awesome. It's actually what we do as children. Listen, when my girls were born, it comes to my life, they'd run up, daddy, pick them up. Best moments. How do you think God feels when we go, daddy, pick me up. I need you. I adore you. I used to go pick my girls up and they'd shout, that's my daddy. I'll be like, amen. I'm your daddy. How do you think God feels when we start saying that? We adore him. Shabak means to shout, to address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph. Psalm 47 verse, 47 verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all people. Shabak to God with a voice of joy. That's actually how to express that. Again, who gets the loudest shout in your life? And do you only shout when you're frustrated? Or does your gratefulness outweigh your frustration and you shout with joy? Because let's face it, in the world we're living in, the only time we ever shout is when we're upset. But your shout was given to you for God. The enemy wants to silence you when it comes to praise because he knows it's so powerful. Praise is what brought the walls of Jericho down. Why would the enemy ever want you to shout? He wants to silence you. Barak means to kneel down. To bless God is an act of adoration. Psalm 95 verse 6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. It's Barak before the Lord. Zama means to pluck strings. Rian can pluck strings there for us. It's actually the only, you know what I mean, instrument that gets mentioned besides bass, but just a the slap of the bass, eh? So it's to praise God with string instruments. Psalm 21 verse 13, be exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. We will sing and praise. We'll zama thy power. And then lastly, tequila. Side joke, it's not tequila. Not that I've... It derives from the word halal, which means the singing of halals. The singing of halals. To sing. Psalm 23. Thou art holy. Thou who art enthroned upon the tehillah. He's enthroned upon the tehillah of his people. The praises of his people. That's what he's enthroned on. It's a singing of praise. Because hallelujah is a halal is a hallelujah, highest praise. Hallelujah means highest praise. So that extending into words is what he's enthroned on. Because halal is this rave. So not only that extending, but that passion that people stop identifying you as an individual, but they see you as a Christ follower, as a worshiper of Jesus. That, put into words, is what he's enthroned on. That worshiping of him, that's louder, and it's like you going to a stadium and people just see you as a supporter instead of an individual. That expressed in words is what God is enthroned on. So what we're going to do right now, do you want to stand up? So I'm going to show you a basic pattern of how we worship. You start your worship off with thanks. It's in this direction. You look back at what Christ has done for you. You look back at what God, you've already got blessed with in your life. Then what happens is after you thank God, you look up and you praise him for who he is. You're almighty, you're all powerful. You're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords. But it starts there, thank you. It goes there, praise, and it ends here with worship. Proskynia worship. Proskynia worship is a picture of adoration. It's almost like you're kissing his hand. I know it sounds, but it's such a closeness. But it starts with thank you, praise you, worship you. That's actually the picture. So whenever I worship, I always enter in the gates with thanks. I praise his name and I enter into the throne room. And as I get into the throne room, I worship him. Because he's the King of Kings. You'd worship an earthly king or queen, you would, when you get into their presence. So right now, think back at what he's done. Come on. Maybe you only feel like you've got one or two things to say thank you for. That's enough. If you've never even received him as your Savior, thank him that Scripture says he loves you fully. Before you've even acknowledged him, he loves you. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you that there's nothing that can separate me from your love. Thank him right now in this place. Then, from there, I want you to start to declare, you're all powerful, you're almighty, you're all knowing, you're the King of Kings, your timing's perfect. Your thoughts are not my own. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. I can't get my head around what I'm facing, but you know exactly what you're doing. Your plans are plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope in the future. You're the ultimate king. You even put rulers in place. You're not limited. You are powerful. You're not weak. You are strong. Even when I am weak, you are strong.